We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your wake-up call.
Wake the fuck up. The Breakfast Club, the show you love to hate. From the East to the West Coast.
DJ Envy.
Angela Yee.
Charlamagne Tha God.
The realest show on the planet.
This is why I respect this show, because this is a voice to society.
Changing the game.
You guys are the coveted morning show, but y'all earned that.
Impacting the culture.
They wake up in the morning, and each day want to hear that Breakfast Club.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
Yeah, sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now.
Time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
And the Wagwan, man. Peace and blessings, man.
Well, Wagwan, man. Porta Potty Guy.
What's up,
Sean Stone?
His name is not Porta Potty Guy anymore.
I know. Right? I called him Sean Stone, but it is what it is. Sorry, Sean Stone. What's up, brother?
Hey, it's all good, man. How you guys doing today, man? Everything good?
We're doing good. You got a poem for us today, man?
Hey, yeah, man. You want me to recite a poem?
Sean Stone, you were going crazy last time because you said we didn't play your poem. You were mad about it.
Yeah, I was.
You okay
was,
now?
You know what I mean? Nah, I'm still not okay. I would like to cite my poem. And I heard Envy is giving away some stuff, and I'm just wondering if I could get the furniture. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No problem. I'll come and get it.
Why won't you give it to him?
Honestly,
exactly.
Because he has a job and he's working. I want to give something to somebody that has nothing. I'm being honest. You have work. You're working. You've been working.
Just because you're working, though, doesn't mean that there's not some struggles.
Right, but there's a lot of people out there that lost their jobs during the pandemic that are not working. I'd rather help them.
I was laid out from my job, brother. I was laid out from my job. You know what I mean? For like a month. You feel me? You know what I mean? I'm
saying
I work
hard.
I hustle. You feel me?
I
but if you have the furniture and you're giving away the furniture, why not? You know, give something. You know what I mean?
I got a lamp for you, brother. I got a lamp for you. But there's a lot of people out there that don't have nothing, that are homeless, that don't have. Do you have a bed?
I recently donated to Carol Horn when the lady was on the radio talking about her situation.
That's dope. Me too.
I didn't even have much to donate, but I donated. You know what I mean?
Potty.
And Sean Stone is an essential worker. He's a sanitation worker. He works hard.
Yo,
I didn't say he didn't.
Envy got it. Envy came. Envy's like, yo,
nah,
you know what I mean?
I'm just saying, Sean Stone has a good job. He's working sanitation. He's been working for the last
that's
6 weeks. There's people out there that don't have a job,
you,
that's homeless, that's living in shelters. I just want to help those people.
Yo, Envy, Sean Stone, I
heard that you put on an accent to get through the lines and fool people answering the phones.
Angela, I don't know why these guys working against me. For what? For what? I never disrespect drama.
Let me hear the accent you did to get through. I use my accent,
Jamaican accent. You know I'm Jamaican, Angela. You know what I mean?
Oh, they said you put on a thick accent.
He's Jamaican.
Nah, I put on a real, real thick Jamaican accent, so Drama's mm-hmm. gonna understand. You know what I mean?
All right.
Can I do my poem? Can I do my poem?
Drama.
Wow.
That was foul, Dramos.
That was messed up.
That was foul, Dramos. This was the first time he was going to get to do his poem, so he was going to be able to finish, and you did that to him?
I don't like that he's lying to, you know, to our producer, Dan, about the call. Just say who you are.
Goodness gracious. You see that? You Puerto Rican guys is going to hang up on the black. We're supposed to be together. You just hang up on the black, brother?
This isn't a black or Puerto Rican thing. This is a Sean Stone thing.
I never heard you hang up on a Latino.
That's not true.
That is so foul.
Stop it.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Alicia, and I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Well, get it off your chest,
Mama. Hi. Oh, my gosh, I'm so nervous. This is crazy that I got through. I said this a long time ago that I was going to get through. Long story short, let me get to the point. I just want to give God all the thanks for waking me up this morning. And I want to tell everybody in the world that I found my fight. You know, you have to know in order to win the battle, you got to know who you're fighting. And I found my fight. We ain't fighting with flesh and blood. We're fighting with the enemy. And he tried to stop me. I started a youth organization called Are You Mad? It doesn't mean are you mad, it's an angry. It means are you making a difference? And it's a youth organization, and the enemy tried to stop me so many times. But I found my fight. So I just want to tell everybody in the world, have a blessed day, and I find your fight. It's in you. You got it.
All right, Mama.
What did God call you to do? You can do it. So,
okay. Are you all right?
Yes. 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I got into a car accident. I'm 27 years old. I had to learn to walk and talk all over again. Wow. I lost my mother. But they removed my left vocal cord. So this is how I was down for the rest of my life. But you know what? The enemy tried to take me down because he knew what I was going to do. You know, he knew what I was going to do. He knew what was going to happen on the other side. I am here to make a difference in the world. We have to start with our youth. We have to start with our youth. So the enemy's right, but I'm still fighting. I found my fight.
Absolutely.
Well, we thank God for you, and we thank God that you are still alive and you're here with us and that you are fighting that fight with us.
Yes, I am fighting. I'm here. So I have a youth organization that's called Are You Mad? So I want to ask y'all, are you mad? Are y'all making a difference?
Absolutely. Every day. Every day. And we thank you for keeping that fight on, too.
Thank you.
Dramos, you hung up on her, too?
Dramos?
Oh, my goodness, Dramos.
Wow. She was mid-sentence.
The lady is telling her life and talking about how she's never given up and how she's been through so much, and you hang up on her?
Dramos,
you need to be stopped, Dramos. You need to be stopped.
I'm not
going to
lie. You might be going to hell.
Definitely going to hell. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
This is Blind Beauty, darling.
Good morning.
Blind Beauty.
Good morning. Hi, Blind Beauty.
I'm blessed, black, and highly favored.
How are the girls, Charlamagne?
Yeah, they're really good, actually.
How are you, Yee?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you feeling?
Pretty good. I'm grateful because even though, like, through everything, I've still been able to pay my bills before they're due, even though, like, you know, I'm not.
That's a blessing.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. How are you, Envy?
I'm doing well. I'm okay.
That's good. No, I just called up because I haven't talked to you guys in a while, and I always call to promote something, and I just wanted to say what's up and see how y'all was doing. And Envy, yeah, I love your wife. Like,
oh, thank you.
You.
No, I love it too.
I was sad. You guys couldn't do like the Jamaica thing.
The Jamaica trip had to be postponed, but we'll do it again maybe next year when all this dies down. We were excited; it sold out. We were happy to do it, but we'll see if we could do it again. I mean, we had to cancel it because of COVID, but we'll do it again.
Are you guys going to be able to do like another one like in America, like a meet and greet, like a live like in America?
I doubt.
We're not sure. We don't know when.
I doubt this year. Like, my wife is serious yeah. about this. Like, she is like, she does not play. Like, I have to get permission to leave the house. Like, everybody has to get permission to leave the house. Like, she don't play. Like, she's like, no. Like, we can't bring that back home. We can't bring that to our parents. So, I doubt that.
Any kids. Yeah.
Yeah. She hasn't left the between this house and we just purchased a home. Between those two homes, that's the only place that she's been.
That.
Yeah. Right. She don't play. And she like, nah. She don't play. So I doubt it.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to call and say I love you guys. And, I just love y'all. I just wanted to come and check in with y'all really quick or whatever.
Love you, too. Thank you for the wellness check.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You
Thank
guys
you
have
so
a
much,
good day.
Alrighty now. Hello, who's this?
Charlamagne.
Hey, Charlamagne. Get it off your chest.
What's up, cousin?
You saying you Charlamagne? Are you calling me?
No, this is Vern Duke from Shaolin.
Hey, Shaolin, what's happening?
So aggressive.
Yeah, talk to Ghostface about me. He'll tell you about
me. That's my favorite rapper of all time.
Hell yeah. Yo, put your cousin, Now Born, Click on, please.
Are you rapping?
I have no idea who that is. Who is Now Born, Click?
Your cousin, Rod G. Check it out on YouTube, please.
Never heard of him.
Yo, he's rapping, though.
That's my cousin?
Check it out, G, on Roop YouTube, please.
Now Born, Click. The Rizzo. Him up. Believe it, I tell you. Listen to his beat.
Ghostface would tell me to tell you stop eating pork so early in the morning. That's the reason that you are
so aggressive.
I don't eat no pork. I eat no pork. Okay. I eat fish. That's it.
Eat fish, toss salads, and make rap ballads.
Me damn skip it. Verdu.
All right.
I do what I want to do.
Definitely over 50. Definitely on right now in a do-rag.
Have a blessed day, King. Yeah, he got some jean denim shorts on.
Jean shorts on.
Tim's.
Denim,
right now. No socks.
No socks at all.
Fig trying to figure out what chew stick he going to take out the house today.
Word. Definitely a Yankees fitted. All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee, and we are blessed this morning to have the presence of a person I consider an icon. Miss Nikki Giovanni is here. Good morning, Queen. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am blessed, black, and highly favored.
I love that.
She's got a new book out, Make Me Rain, Poems and Prose.
Like, how amazing and timely is your poem about voting? Because that has been such a heavy discussion.
Yeah, we, well, of course, and I think everybody turned out and we won. And that's very nice. I've got on pink today. I'm a Delta, and our colors, of course, are red and white. But in honor of our new vice president, I'm wearing pink and green.
my mother-in-law is a Delta.
Good for her. See, that's why you're a nice guy.
How do you feel about the election of Senator Kamala Harris? What does that mean for black women?
I'm glad for the country, actually. I think it's good for all of us, but I think it's a statement for the country. When we look at what black women have given to this country, and of course I'm a big, big fan, and you couldn't help but love Fannie Lou Hamer and Mrs. Hamer and her confrontation with Lyndon Johnson in 1964, when she took the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party over to Atlantic City. And it was back and forth. They testified back and forth. And finally, Lyndon Johnson came to Mrs. Hamer, as you know, and said, well, why don't you take two seats? Because Mississippi had four. She said, why don't I give you two seats and we'll work it out for next time? And Mrs. Hamer looked at me and said, we didn't come here for no two seats. And I've always loved her for that. So seeing where we are right now, I'm sorry that Ms. Hamer is not here. I know that it would just absolutely please her. But I know that as a black woman, having watched things like Mrs. Hamer, I know that I will always vote. And I was glad to see that our vote, the black vote, was such a big turnout.
Another poem that I like that you have that I appreciate is Raise Your Hand in Favor of Immigrants. And I thought that was so well said. So tell me, like, I like to know, just because you are so inspirational, like, when you wrote this, was there something in particular? Were you watching the news? Like, what inspired you when you did Raise Your Hand in Favor of Immigrants?
I thought, yeah, everybody's been complaining. These people are taking my job. Well, if you want one of those jobs, raise your hand. Right. Which job are you want? Raise your hand. Let me see who wants the job. They're working to take care of their children. They're working to see to it that their children go. And again, Harris is so important here, that their children go to school. They're doing the dirty jobs that nobody wants to do. And what I really want to know, and I'm going to call later on this afternoon, I know a commissioner in D.C., I want to know how many people who worked in the White House died. Now, I know that Trump didn't die, which was, you know, one of the unfortunate things. I can see that that woman that he's married to didn't die. That half-wit that he has a son, was in Bayonne or something, didn't die. But I can't believe that the COVID has been going around the White House the way that it has. And the people who are cleaning, who are changing the bed every day, who are fluffing the pillow every day, I don't believe that they did not have the COVID and that some of them haven't died.
Now, Ms. Giovanni, I want to make sure I heard you right. You said it's unfortunate that Donald Trump didn't die?
Yes, I thought it was greatly unfortunate. Uh-huh.
You didn't? So you wanted him to pass away?
Well, of course. It would have saved a lot of trouble that's going to come up. If I had been a Jew in Germany, I would have prayed that Hitler died. Of course you want Trump to die, because he's going to cause a lot of problems. He's already fired the national security director. But how many people would be saved if right now, if Trump dropped dead? See, that's not something we know. We do know. No, I'm serious. We do know. And go back to Hitler, because Hitler's the easy one. How many Jewish people? There were like 6 million Jewish people, but then we had the soldiers. I don't know if your mothers and fathers fought in World War II, but your grandparents probably did. How many soldiers had to die so that we could get rid of this guy? Think about it.
No, I'm with you. I don't like to wish death on people, but I can understand your perspective.
I'm just saying for the, you know, it's not personal, but I see that these people don't mind putting their knee on George Floyd's neck. Mm. They don't mind shooting Breonna Taylor in her own bed in her own house. They don't mind shooting a 14-year-old boy in the back who's unarmed. And then they want to get mad because I say something like, oh, well, yeah, it'd be really good for him to drop dead.
I feel you.
This sounds like a Nikki Giovanni poem to me already, just even you speaking these words.
Yeah, I can hear it. Drop Dead by Nikki Giovanni.
I wish.
All right, we have more with Nikki Giovanni. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, Drew Scott here. And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy, reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Nikki Giovanni. Charlamagne?
I watch your conversation with James Baldwin quite often.
And it's
so many gems that were in that conversation. Like you talk about the language of love. What is the language of love to you?
Right now, you and I, you're like my son right now. But this is the language of love. We're honestly engaging in each other. We're honestly sharing with our community and whoever else wants to listen. We're not closing. As I said earlier, I don't lock the door. And we're not cutting off any communication here. Anybody wants to tune in can tune in. That's the language of love. We are communicating and we are trying to help each other get through it, because it's still not going to be easy.
Yeah, I don't know if you know or not, but there was such a discussion around your conversation with James Baldwin, you know, especially the part where you said you want a man. You basically told him, lie to me the way you lied to the white man. You know?
I will always remember Jimmy's face when I said that, because he just went like, oh, because he hadn't thought about it that way. Because Jimmy knew that we do lie to people who hate us. Mm-hmm. We smile at them in the morning. We do lie to the people who hate us. So if it's going to be a lie, lie to me. I'm the one trying to make you understand. I love you. I'm the one trying to have a meal for you. You know, it's fascinating when you look at history, and I love history. It's fascinating when you look at the enslaved woman who got up before dawn and put on some food. One of the reasons that I and many other Southerners love food that cooks all day is that we got used to it from our grandmothers, and they got used to it from their grandmothers. But she would put a pot on and a fire. She would then go out into the field with him. They would work all day, and when they came on, they would be came home in this little shack. And you've seen slave shacks. You've seen what they gave for Black people to live in. But they would have food that was warm, that she had cooked, that they would eat, and that was love. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have to recognize the love that we gave. And of course, let me be real clear about that. Black men loved, and still do, Black women. We don't have any history of Black men beating Black women during slavery. We don't have any history of that. So when did you learn it?
Learned it from your oppressor.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to do this again, because I do want to do a whole topic on love. I have to go catch a flight.
Yeah, you can step by. I got to ask her a couple more questions, because I don't know when we're going to have Nikki Giovanni on.
Okay.
Because you have a quote that I love, and I wish in this era of cancel culture, more people would adopt it. You say mistakes are a fact of life. It is the response to the era that counts. Could you expound on that?
Oh, no, that's quite true. People get upset when they get upset if they have the wrong boyfriend or girlfriend. They get upset if they don't get the job they thought. People get upset because they think that life should be smooth. And we all are going to make mistakes. There's a reason pencils have erasers. And one of the things that I am a firm believer in, and it's why I don't read my own, very seldom read my old poetry, is because I don't mind contradicting myself. And I would say that I teach here at Virginia Tech. And one of the things I try to tell my students is don't involve yourself too much in your early writing. Because if you do, you'll try not to contradict yourself. If you won't contradict yourself, you won't grow.
Ooh.
And one of the sad things, and I knew I had the pleasure of knowing that she was my sorority sister, Aretha Franklin, but I looked at a young Michael Jackson. I knew Michael, but not like we weren't friends. And what he did as a singer, what she did actually as a singer, what Prince did as a singer, is they kept singing the same song. And if you're singing the same song, eventually it wears you down. So we know that Prince, I'm sure you know that Prince, was not, for example, a drug addict. Prince died because he had pills because of the pain. He was trying to dance. He was trying to put on high heel shoes and dance because he thought that's what people wanted. Mm. And of course, whether that's what people wanted or not, leave the door open and go out and do, because he's a great musician. It's a shame that we lost him because he wanted to be something that he had been finished with.
Man, it was such a pleasure. You know, everything you're saying is amazing, and it gives me such a better understanding of myself. And that's what a wise woman once said: if you don't understand yourself, you don't understand anyone else. And that wise woman was Miss Nikki Giovanni. So thank you. Go pick up the book, Make Me Rain, Poems and Prose, Miss Giovanni. It was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. It's the Breakfast Club.
Time to shoot your shot.
Time to shoot your shot
with the Breakfast Club.
This is your one chance. Don't mess it up. Mess it up. Mess it up.
We got Nisha on the line. Nisha, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing this morning, Nisha?
I'm doing okay. I'm hoping you guys can help me out.
Okay, now who do you want to shoot your shot with?
His name is Andre.
Okay, tell us about Andre.
He's a really sweet dude. He's my big brother's one of his best friends, so I've known him since I was like a girl. He's always just been really cute, and we started hooking up like a couple of months ago, and now I want to like tell my brother. We've been doing it on a super low low, and I want to tell my brother so we can like be together.
So you want to tell your brother that his friend been smashing?
I want to tell my, well, I mean, yeah, but I want to tell my brother that we're going to be together.
Okay, so that you want this to be your man. So have y'all discussed this?
I mean, you know how sometimes you don't need to, what doesn't need to be said doesn't need to be said, you know, like we don't have to talk about that. I know he wants to be with me.
Oh, let me make sure I'm clear. Friend. It's your brother's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been smashing your brother's best friend.
That's not going to turn out right.
How old is your brother's best friend? How old are you? Are you the little sister?
I'm the little sister. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Now, that's going to be a little fight. You're smashing
grown,
my little sister.
She's grown.
Nope.
So, do y'all like go on dates, or is it just a
sex,
y'all smash sometimes thing?
We go out when you know, time allows. I'm a nurse, so sometimes I work you know, all day, all night. But, you know, we go out and
you guys talk on the phone, night. Y'all FaceTime and all that?
Sometimes, yeah, and we text a lot.
Does he text you, good morning, bae? I miss you, thinking of you.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this is going
to
work, man.
Yeah, are you prepared for your brother to tell you that this guy has been smashing a whole bunch of other chicks and you just another one in the long line?
True.
Or maybe he's a good guy and he would love for his sister to be with his good friend.
I'm going with that.
All okay. Right, well, let's see what happens.
Well, hope for the best.
There's only one way to find out.
And is your brother big? Because if not, I'm sure he's going to beat the hell out of this guy.
They've been friends for a long time. I don't think there's going to be any problems.
Well, the moral of Shoot Your Shot is hope for the best, wish for the worst, because the worst always leads for better ratings for us.
Now we have Nisha on the line. Now, Nisha, we're about to call Andre now, so let's call him.
Hello?
Hey, Andre. This is Nisha.
What up?
I wanted to call and talk to you about something that has been on my mind for a minute.
Oh, boy.
What do you mean, oh, boy?
What's up?
I think it's time that we tell my brother that, you know, we together.
We're together? What you mean we're together? What you mean we're together?
Well, we're not together now because we on the low. Like, you act like you're scared. You don't want to tell my brother what we've been doing. And I'm like, forget it. Like, let's just tell him. Tell the family so we can be together.
See, now this is why I didn't even want to go down this rabbit hole with you. You know what I mean? Because, you know, what? Just because we messing around don't mean we together. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're not together now.
Yeah, but see, when we first started messing around, one of the first things we said was we wasn't going to, you know, no feelings involved. You know, we just having fun. You know, that's why I don't understand what you calling me with this all out of left field right now.
This how you treat a woman that you don't have any feelings for?
Listen, it's just, we just having fun, babe. I don't understand, you know, of course I care for you. You know, you're my friend, you know? I definitely care for you, but, you know, all of that relationship stuff, I'm not trying to hear that. And I'm definitely not trying to tell this dude or the family or anybody else, you know? What we do is between us, boo.
Nope,
you know?
Not anymore.
Okay,
it's between you and the whole Breakfast Club listening audience.
Nisha,
what's up,
this
man?
Isn't going too well.
It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, bro.
Now, you said you didn't want to go down that rabbit hole, but you didn't go down a rabbit hole. You went down your friend's sister's kitty cat hole.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. Now you got me on the radio? Like, are you serious?
That's what you get for messing with Lil Sis.
I can't believe you right now.
That's right. I can't believe you.
Completely brand new.
You got me on the Breakfast Club? Like, everybody listens to this.
Yeah.
All right. So Andre, you're being honest, though. You guys are just sleeping around. You don't want to be with her.
I'm not trying to do all of that.
I mean, Nisha, he's honest with you. You know, it's now up to you if you decide.
No, I mean, listen, you got to stop playing. If you don't want a girl to think that you don't want to be with her, then you got to stop doing the stuff that you do. You treat me mad nice. You give me a kick.
Well, he should still treat you nice, Nisha.
Wait. Would he eat the butt?
Oh, yeah. You mean you going around, you just eating mad booty?
You just eating ass everywhere you go? You eat all your friend sister's ass?
Stop it.
Huh? Andre?
You're a serial ass eater?
Andre, you a serial sister ass eater?
She ate me first.
Okay, this is going well.
You
an
ass eater too, okay.
And it was warm tickle down there.
All right, so y'all did a 69 in the...
Yeah, sounds like y'all belong together if you ask me.
But instead of trying to disrespect each other, I guess what it is, Nisha, he don't want to be with you like that. So if you still want to continue to mess with him because he treats you nice, that's on you. But just know it's not a relationship.
Well, he might not want to be with me, but he's going to have to tell my brother something because I'm pregnant.
She did not tell us this.
Right. I'm not playing.
Are you really pregnant?
Yeah. I really am.
I'm taking my ball and going home.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you, Andre. I don't know if I believe her, because sometimes women do one or two things in this situation. Either say they're pregnant or they say you raped them.
I don't think it's mine.
What?
Oh, that's not the way to go.
You think she's a hoe?
Yeah, I don't think it's mine.
Are you kidding me?
No, we're just having fun. And I don't know what you out there doing. Now you're talking about you're pregnant and this and that.
Did fun include condoms, Nisha?
Well, that's what little baby is going to be named. It's going to be named Fun then, because that's what happened to me.
You know what?
Was Andre wearing condoms, Nisha?
Yes.
Not all the time.
All the time.
All right, well, guys, I think you guys need to handle this one. This was a little too far out of our tax bracket.
Yeah, Andre, I hope that you enjoyed your little fun, because now you're about to have a little fun on the way, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
She said that's what you're going to name her.
Next thing she's going to be saying is yours, Charlamagne.
Stop it. Don't be disrespectful. That might be your child's mother. Are you going to tell Andre now? I mean, Andre, are you going to tell her brother now?
No. That's not my... She's not pregnant, you know, and she's crazy. You know, and she calling up here a radio station and doing this and that. She's crazy.
Did you guys have unprotected sex?
No.
She just said sometimes.
She said yes, he said no.
Look, man.
Get him, Nisha. Get his ass.
Literally.
Oh, I mean, there's nothing for me to even say. I mean, he out here obviously in the street just doing all types of stuff dirty. He's going to get what comes to him, but that's fine. That has nothing to do with anything. You don't want to tell my brother? Fine. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to also tell him I'm pregnant. So either way, you're going to have to deal with it.
All right. Well, guys.
I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but I can't do this with you because I got a girl. You know what I mean? My girl's going to be a pet.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you should have thought about that, Andre, before you decided not to be a member of the faithful male community, okay?
So, Andre, basically you've been cheating on your girlfriend, and you didn't even let her know you had a girlfriend, so now this happens.
Well, we was messing around before I got a girlfriend. So, you know, it's not really cheating, I don't think.
But you still was messing with her. Even after you, that's still cheating. You had a girlfriend.
My goodness.
So now what you're, no, because what he's saying is he's cheating on me with this chick.
No, you're not
his girlfriend.
I'm his girl.
No, you're not my girl. Whoa. You're acting crazy again.
You know what, guys? You know, I'm sorry this didn't work out the way it was supposed to. Nisha, good luck with the baby. Andre, support your kid.
Keep us updated, though.
Yeah, Nisha, call us after you had the baby.
Okay.
All right.
That didn't go well.
Not at all. Keep it locked. We have more coming up next. It's The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club, good morning. We got a special guest in the building this morning.
No. You say special guests all the time. This is, we got something different. Special, legendary,
okay.
You know, iconic,
okay.
You know, all that.
You got to keep going then.
Sir Carter from Brooklyn.
All right.
Young Hov.
Yeah.
Jay-Z,
ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir.
What's happening?
Welcome.
We were taking bets on how you were going to arrive. Was it going to be a chariot, white horse? Were you going to float in like Prince? Like.
Mm-hmm.
Or were you going to arrive at all?
I was on Pekka's back.
Pekka's back. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
No matter what happens in here, just don't get Charlamagne fired. There was rumors that you got Charlamagne fired one time. We just don't want him fired.
Oh, gosh. Uh-oh.
Listen, my last name is Pinkett Smith Winfrey Knowles Carter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool over here.
All right, just making sure. Right.
Now, I'm a Cowboy fanatic, too. They always give me flack because they say I'm from South Carolina, so I shouldn't root from the Cowboys. How do you do it being from New York?
And, you know, you got the Giants and the Jets. How can you be a Cowboys fan in this city?
Well, I grew up, my pop is really my pop for, you know.
That's
you know,
his
he grew up, he grew up in, yeah, that era. That era of those guys who, you know, wanted that whole cowboy lifestyle. Was, all those guys was on coke and,
My pops was definitely on coke.
Guy, I got the whole thing pegged. I could give you the whole profile. He did have an afro?
He absolutely had an afro. Absolutely.
But I bet your dad didn't taste somebody at the Cowboys Jets game like Charlamagne's dad.
That was my father.
He's a real fanatic.
He tased somebody at
remember
the
last
game.
Year, first game, Cowboys Jets at MetLife Stadium.
Like in this
yes,
yes.
In
like
last year.
He from South Carolina, he didn't know. He tased is illegal.
He got arrested.
He let him in with it. He got into a fight with some Jets
He's
fans.
Serious.
He's a Cowboys guy.
I definitely wanted to put that on the profile, but yeah, that type of fan and my pop's team, so I couldn't, like, you know, I had to watch it growing up.
I was shocked at one thing on Twitter when you said that Magna Carta Holy Grail you thought was fighting for fourth place as far as best albums.
I mean, only fourth place, but I mean, fighting for that three, you got to fight Reasonable Doubt, Blueprint, mm-hmm. and the Black Album. That's just hard.
Is that the order you put it in? Reasonable Doubt first?
Reasonable Doubt, well, yeah, it's the first album I made because, you know, that's the joint I took my whole life to make. Mm-hmm. Reasonable Doubt, then Blueprint, then the Black Album. But sometimes I switch the Blueprint to Black Album. Don't tell nobody.
Is it hard, though, because you're competing against yourself? You know, you can't compare, to me, you can't compare, you know, Holy Grail to Reasonable Doubt or the Blueprint because it was different times in your life.
True. That's part of the reason why I put it forth. It's very difficult to, like, recreate those times. Those times was like, I mean, obviously, you can't bring those times back. But just for it to be so high, it says mm-hmm. what I think about it.
What's the inspiration? Because I know you used to say Big was inspired you to spit and Nas. But do you get inspired by artists now?
The era I grew up in is like Biggie, Nas, you know, well, mm-hmm. Tupac. It's very difficult to compare to those guys. You know, I'm inspired by my previous work. Mm-hmm. So that's, I have to measure myself against that, and
because a lot of the music to me, it doesn't. I know it makes you sound like an old head, make me sound like an old head, but it just don't sound the same. It don't feel the same.
Nah, it's good music. It's just hard. It's just you gotta mind for it. But that's what happened, you know. When anything's successful, like people were rapping because they loved the rap, mm-hmm. and then it became this business, this multi-billion-dollar business. So people that didn't even care to rap was like, I'm gonna figure out how to get some money in this. So mm-hmm. you had people who could rap a little bit and saw it as a hustle. Then you had guys, CEOs rapping. You know, this is no disrespect to anyone, mm-hmm. just to be clear. You had people rapping like, yo, you should rap. Like Big Toe Puff, you should rap.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Puff wasn't a rapper. Mm-hmm. You know, he was Puff, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And he sold 7 million records. Mm-hmm. He may be more by now, you know, with the catalog, but he sold 7 million records of No Way Out. He never rapped before.
Right.
So when people see that, they emulate that. So now you got all kind of CEOs rapping, and now you have, I'm a CEO rapping. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's flooded with guys who aren't rappers. So mm-hmm. you just got to mine it. And you'll find good music still. It's just more difficult to find.
So Puff F'd the game up is what you're saying for lyricists.
Nah.
That's not what you said.
That's all you got out of that.
What artists of yours that you signed are you most uh-huh. proud of? Because you're responsible for a lot of careers out there.
Wow. You have to say Kanye West, the most successful at this stage of his career, and his growth and the progress that he's made is like, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know, like when he first came in, he wasn't the artist that he is today. You know, but he always aspired to be. From that moment, like from the moment he walked through the door, when he was just the producer, not just the producer, when he was the producer, you know, he had it in his eyes. He was saying stuff like, you know, I am the savior of Chicago. And I was like, what are you even talking about? You don't even have a single. But he proved to be prophetic in that way.
What did you think of Ye's album, the last album, Yeezus?
I liked it.
Like
it? Ah, come on, Hov. It's ass, man. Out of 10 records, I give him 4.
That's like 40% of a record. That's pretty good, man.
But he's got an amazing catalog, though. Like, he should never put out anything that people even consider is subpar.
Jesus.
But some people love that album. You know, yeah. it's
polarizing, and that's what great art is. It's polarizing. Some people love it. You know, it forced you to have an opinion. Like, you know, at least you're not like wishy-washy about it. You know, it forced you to have an opinion, which is good. And I think it's needed. You know, it's needed because what tends to happen is someone has to experiment and go do it first. And then artists will sit back and watch it and be like, okay, I like this. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I like this part. And they'll perfect the methods. And then, mm-hmm. you know, and it all pushes the genre forward. which is good. And that's what he does. He's like the cowboy, you know. He runs over the hill and then, you know, the Indians hit him with his arrows. And then he comes back like, yo, it's a lot of them over there. And then we go over there and conquer.
What's your reaction whenever you hear him, like, denounce corporations, being that you are such a corporate entity yourself?
You know, I think all, you know, as an individual, I respect that. It's what he chooses to do. Me, myself, I can operate in that venue. I can operate, you know, I can walk that line between putting out great art and, you know, getting paid for my art. I'm not one of those that they could talk to and be like, you're an artist, you shouldn't have money. Like, that's the gas. They hit you with, yeah, I don't want any money. I want to be a pure artist, and I don't want to have the music business. If that's the case, you should, any artist, not Kanye West, any artist, they should just record in their basement and never enter the music business.
I feel like people consume music too fast because you create these amazing moments, but then the moment is fleeting. As soon as you put the album out, it's like people are on it for a few days, then, okay, J. Cole came out, Wale comes out the next week. Wale's out, now Hov's out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Again, the time that we in, right, we have to figure out, I mean, it's up to the individual to figure out how to slow it down, because, you know, it's just going faster and faster. Everything is moving, you know, quicker. You know, information is going quicker. You know, it's, again, like you said, it, you know, these great things are fleeting. They're going faster and faster, and it's up to the individual to slow it down and be like, okay, I'm living with this album. This is what I choose to ride to. This is going to be the soundtrack to my life for these next couple months.
Or the summer.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's an individual thing. I'm not going to let anybody speed up my process. I don't care what's happening out there. That's the great thing about, you know, having ultimate confidence in yourself, is it doesn't matter what's happening. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what you're on or this person's on. This is what I like. Tailor made for me.
You ever got to watch your lyrics? Because, you know, things you say people take literally. Like, I remember watching a press conference at the White House and they're quoting Jay-Z lyrics about something that you said. You ever be like, man, maybe I shouldn't have said that?
Nah, I'm an artist. I have the creative license to say whatever I feel at that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, I find things funny, like, you know, the Obama thing. Obama said, the irony in that, mm-hmm. the fact that people really believed that and really was like, you lied. I'm like, you believe that?
Oh, yeah. You said hashtag facts only.
Yeah. Yeah, but irony. You got to have some irony in music, you know.
Now, age-old hood question. I always say that you put too much pressure on Bleak. Because early in his career, you said he was going to be the new, improved Jay-Z. And he was good, but everybody was waiting on him to be that. So you feel like you might have kind of, you know...
Yeah, it's just the little brother, like almost the little brother syndrome. He had it more so than anybody, because he really grew up with me. He really grew up in, you know, on the third floor on the same projects from me. So he really had it. He had my shadow on him, you know, the whole time. So whether I said those things or not, it was just there. You know, me saying those things was actually trying to deflect them, you know, trying mm-hmm. to deflect some of it away from them. I wasn't trying to put more on them. It was just like the elephant in the room. You walk in the room, like, everybody's thinking, yo, that's the next guy. It's just natural.
I never saw you do that with any of your other artists afterwards. So I wonder if that was something you said, you know what, I'm not going to ever do that
again. Yeah, he was just, again, he was just one of a kind. Like, he really was from, like, you know, Val, his mother. I used to go in there and, like, Val, open the door and drag him out the house.
Gotcha.
You know, so he was a unique guy.
And he's always been very loyal to you.
Very.
Yeah, to this day, still.
Yeah, Bleak is an amazing soul. He's an incredible person.
Oh, I always say people don't,
you know how much pressure people putting on him.
Absolutely.
You know
what I mean?
You should have $100 million. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy, unrealistic things.
But Bleak gets busy in the street. He'll come see you, too, if you say the wrong thing. He'll definitely come see you. Not of recent, but...
Yo, don't pump Bleak up.
He'll definitely come see you.
Okay, question as a fan. Is it ever awkward when you're in a room with Nas? Because that Ether Takeover beef with y'all wasn't light.
It was disrespectful.
Yeah, it was a moment in time that was a great moment for hip-hop. But for us, you know... We really have a good relationship. We laugh. We don't even... That thing is so far past. And I understand why, even today, that mm-hmm. thing is 11 years old, maybe mm-hmm. longer. And, like, people still fascinated with it, but it's so far removed. It's so far in the background that it's... We're not awkward around each other at all.
For both of you, it's not like, okay, now this guy just destroyed me, because that happens sometimes with beef. But you guys both were successful still after that. You even more so.
Yeah, you heard a lot of careers. So that's what she wants to say, you know.
Rap is competitive, you know, it's a competitive sport. Each time I went out, I put my career on the line as well, you know, mm-hmm. like that could have happened to me. You know,
Prodigy.
And everybody wanted mm-hmm. it to happen, like,
yep.
They did. It was a time where it was like, please, let mm-hmm. this guy go away. That's just the nature of rap. It's competitive, and, you know, every time you go out there, you're putting your career on the line.
Would you ever do a King of New York album with Nas? Like how you and Ye did Watch the Throne?
Not at this point. You know, like, any other collaboration album would have to be with Kanye because, you know, there's chemistry there, and mm-hmm. we already know how we work, and I don't really have the time to really, like, just figure out those situations and how a person works, and it's hard to do. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do, especially if you're going to make something great. The hardest thing ever was, you know, going through those R. Kelly albums. It's just, you just never know how the situation's going to turn out. It's an X factor that you mm-hmm. can't even calculate in your mind that, you know, can happen at any moment. That you'd be like in the hotel ready to make an announcement. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. What just happened? Mm-hmm.
Tata, you know? Get the peppers.
Stupid. We had Jadakiss up here, and we were talking about when it comes to trying to get you on the phone or trying
curve,
to get
something.
Curve
to
you. He said spin. No, he said spin. That's the word.
Spin.
Yeah, he said you're the master spinner.
The master spinner.
Spin people.
Sounds like.
But he said at least
like
you
real talk to me.
At least you do answer his calls, though. You know, that's important.
Yeah. Kiss can get me on the phone anytime.
You hear a lot of New York artists complain about the state of New York hip hop. You are a New York artist. Over the years, have you looked at New York and said, what's going on with our city musically?
Yeah, but that's just a thing. That's just the way music moves. You know, it was out west, mm-hmm. out down south, or, you know, whatever. That's the way it moves. Complaining does nothing. Make music. Make some great music, and that's the end of it. I don't even know what to say. You know,
Hov's like, I'm too busy winning the war, hear their complaints. I don't know.
No, I just don't care about it. It's like, it's almost like a loser's mentality. It's like, right. Everyone's so spoiled. Like, right. it's like, you know, he won't let me shine. I even heard someone say, like, yo, why is Jay won't let Kanye? I'm like, let Kanye. Kanye's Kanye. He's gonna do what he does. That's a loser's mentality. When we were gonna sound like one of those rappers. When we were coming up, you know, my albums came out with Outkast, Lauren, Q-Tip, mm-hmm. all of them in 1 week. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody did good. Mm-hmm. You know, look at the chart now. It's Wale, number one, a shameless plug. Okay. Rock Nation managed artist, J. Cole, which mm-hmm. would probably go to number one next week for the first time ever, but he'll go to number one. Rock Nation, and it's Kanye. Everyone's flourishing. You got to be out. You got to be able to compete. Steel mm-hmm. sharp and steel. You got to get out there and you got to earn your spot. It's not given. It's such a spoiled brat loser's mentality mm-hmm. that it's annoying.
Now, has fatherhood changed you at all? As far as lyrics,
yeah,
as far as writing.
That was
as far as lyrics, right?
Terrible segue. Yeah.
You just threw me
he
off.
Was like, terrible segue.
You like separated my shoulder.
My bad.
You're talking about hog on New York hip hop.
I got a newborn. All I'm thinking right now is Similac right now. I got a newborn. All I'm thinking is Similac and Pampers right now.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. You know.
How is Jay as a dad?
I hope I'm great, but I'm learning. Again, it's a new thing for me. And changed me in a way that just knowing what's important. But I had a pretty good sense of that, but it just reaffirmed all the things that I believed I knew.
Now, how were you with you know, the reason I'm asking, because I'm going through it now, so how were you with every 2 hours the baby getting up and changing pampers and similar?
No, I got an army, man. It's
like, you ain't do nothing of that?
I mean, of course, but come on, man. It's hard, man. It's difficult. Right.
Can I ask you a question? The first thing I thought when I heard about
I'm here to be asked questions.
The Rock Nation Sports. Do you have to give up your seats at the Barclays Center?
No.
So you told y'all that in the open letter.
That part was true.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Because you
I'm
know what?
I'm still on the building. I'm still there.
No, because I used to be able to go to the Nets games and sit in your seats because you never used to go
good.
To those.
Don't worry about it. This is a selfish question.
Yeah, this is selfish. You just want to make sure you're good. What kind of question is that?
This question is loaded. Don't worry, you're good.
I'm
going to write you in 4 games a year.
Now, for you moving into sports management, does it feel to you like a lot of people don't want you to succeed? Because they're saying that's a really tough business. There's a lot of agents that feel like, well, what does Jay-Z know about sports management, and he hasn't done this and he hasn't done that.
Yeah, but they have that belief that you can only do one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have that. We're not inflicted with that disease. Mm-hmm. You know, I can walk and chew gum. You know, it's insane to even say that. What does he know about sports? It's like everything, more than you. You know, and as far as business, those guys have been sitting around just doing the typical thing, right? They get the athlete, they get them, knock on the same doors. They go to Nike, you know, they do the contract and they sit back. They don't do anything else. Right. So they've been sitting around for 20, 30 years just not doing anything.
Same formula.
Yeah, so me coming, that's a problem for them because now they have to go to work. Now they have to wake up. Now they have to do things. So they don't want me to. They don't want me around because... Now they have to do something for these athletes. They don't even care about that. That's why those guys go broke in 4 years. It's like a shame. Right. Like this, like it's the average is 3 to 4 years. We're talking about guys who signing for $90 million, $86 million are broke in 4 years. That's terrible money management. Mm-hmm. But because these guys don't care. They just taking the whatever is gonna get them a check and they're not even worrying about all that. We're doing all of that.
Yeah, that's been an ongoing problem with sports, with athletes going broke. Artists anything as well,
but
too. Check.
But then you have people who will say, what does Jay-Z know about money?
Yeah, right.
Nobody's going to say that.
People always say, if Biggie hadn't passed, Hov wouldn't be here. I know you've heard that before.
That's ridiculous, right? That's. I mean, I was here while Biggie was here, you know.
Some people say you made your best material when he was here.
I think just us again, like I said, still sharp and still. The way we were working and the album that we were going to create together would have only made me better, you know, as a lyricist. So, and it's just like you know, that's God's plan. You know, this is God's plan. It's just like saying Biggie wouldn't be here if, you know, Rakim had been on the Faith remix, or like it's like you can make up any scenario in your mind why a person shouldn't be here, or a person wouldn't attain the success that they have. But I personally don't believe anybody could stop me. I really that's just how I believe, and it was gonna be I was coming. I was destined to be here, and it just is what it is.
Why people can't give you that though? Why is it you got to be something else? Oh, Big was here, wouldn't be like that. He's in Illuminati. Why can't you just be good and successful nowadays?
That's a very philosophical question because you have to. I can only assume, right? I can only assume because I don't know the answer to that. Except that, you know, sometimes people's success, you know, make people feel instead of saying, "Wow, that person's successful," and I'm inspired. Well, some people are. Some people are like that person's successful. I'm a strive and I'm gonna be exactly where they are. And some people are just like. They got the reverse attitude, like their success means my failure. So I hate that success. So I have to make some kind of explanation of why they're here and why they shouldn't be here and why they wouldn't be here if this person was here. Who thinks like that? If you take that
black
long
people.
To think, if you take that long,
it's not just black.
That is. That's more so in hip hop, black culture.
If you take that long to think about someone why they shouldn't be here, then. You're good, and you should be doing something with that intelligence. Right? You should apply that intelligence to something else.
Absolutely.
It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
Can we clear up another bet? These two were arguing about who knew Jay the longest.
Who too?
Angela Yee and DJ Envy.
Okay.
Nah, I definitely knew Envy before Angie.
I told him I knew him before Mary J. Blige was on the hook to Can't Knock the Hustle when it was that wax.
Yeah. No, I think I knew
you
longer.
She used to help y'all bag up in an apartment in Brooklyn.
Yeah. I think I might have known you longer than Envy, though. I might have. Because I should have bought that tape in. Because when I first met you, you were giving out cassettes of Dead President's single.
Yeah, that was too late by then. I had to record the album first.
Mm-hmm. It was a single, though. It wasn't a whole album. It was just a cassette.
But I'm saying I had to record it. He was there first. I'm going to just give him that.
Okay, all right.
Well, shortly thereafter.
That's when he was DJ Shrimp.
I was definitely DJ Shrimp at that time.
Now, do you ever feel sorry for Damon Dash, man, whenever you hear about, like, his financial problems and things like that?
Dame's a hustler. Dame will figure it out. Like, Dame, very smart guy. He'll figure it out.
He was definitely playing your album and on Instagram.
Yeah,
like,
did you see that video?
Sweet.
Nah, I didn't see it.
He was in the barbershop, bobbing his head crazy to it. He said he liked it. He said he felt like he was a part of that. He knows you're telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, what people got to understand, nothing going to change the way I feel about Damon. You know, no matter, no time or space, no separation or anything. I got love for Damon Dash the same way as I did before. I don't know if we can be around each other in that way, because times have changed. And, you know, you may be a totally different person. I know I'm a different person. Mm-hmm. But nothing can erase that era and the things that we, you know, those times and those memories and those fights that we had, you know, to get Rockefeller where it was. It just is what it is. Nothing's going to change that. You know, there'll be some, you know, minor things in the middle that... Mm-hmm. that are getting away, but those things go away, and then the relationship remains, and those memories remain. That's we did something great. We built something that is going to be here forever, that is going to be talked about forever. There will always be, you know, love there.
What was your worst signee at Rockefeller? The worst person, like, that just didn't
fit
Mill.
Rockefeller. I'm sorry.
No.
I don't say Mill. Mill album, you should listen to it. It wasn't that
I did.
Bad.
You,
it's good.
You had a reggaeton era as well.
Yeah.
Was you really responsible for that, or was that more than...
I'm not gonna put nobody on. I'll take that one.
That didn't seem like that one for the team. The old dirty signing didn't seem like old.
Yeah, I'm gonna take that. I'm gonna take all that for the team. Then what was the worst signing?
Yeah.
He don't want to throw.
You was talking about how Mill was your worst signing.
There's somebody that didn't fit.
Let me think about that.
And then what was the artist you passed up on that you could have had that you didn't sign? And
I don't know if we passed on anyone that turned out to be great.
Mm-hmm. They could have been great if they would have.
Yeah, true that. I don't know if we passed on anybody that was great. Because we signed everybody.
At the end, y'all signed everybody.
Tax write-offs.
Yeah. Oh, my God. that's not even like a real thing, mm-hmm. but it's funny.
When you look at the game, and you know, you look at where you're at now, and you look at the peers you came up with in the 90s, did you say to yourself, I knew I was going to be here, and I knew those guys were going to be there? And I'm asking you that because I want to know what you think of the game now and who's going to be here 10 years from now.
Yeah, because I wanted to be here, mm-hmm. you know, and I saw a lot of people let opportunities go. And I was like, oh, that he's not going to be around. Why aren't you doing this? If I had that, I'd be doing this. And I think about it in strategic moves. You know, I remember one time walking in the studio, Bleak Beans, everybody was in there. And I was like, man, I'm telling you, man, y'all got a chance right now. Just flood it. Put out a lot of music mm-hmm. because 50 Cent is coming. Mm-hmm. 4 months later, and the club hit, and it was over. And right. It was just like, okay, now everybody got to sit on the sidelines and wait this tide to wave out. Mm-hmm. So, like, just seeing things like that. Mm-hmm.
I remember when you wanted to sign Wayne before Wayne really took off.
Yeah.
So you have that kind of vision. So who do you see now that's going to be here 10 years from now?
I mean, obviously, J. Cole.
Kendrick.
Drake, absolutely. Kendrick as well. I think just on, he's talented, very talented, but just on sheer will and wanting it, Wale is going to be here as well. And I don't want to stretch. I'm sure it's other people, right. But I just want, you know.
Now, you mentioned Lil Wayne. I know that you guys were this close to signing Wayne. What happened with that deal? Because, I mean, Wayne was damn near saying he was Rockefeller, and then it just went left.
The truth is, it's the first time I was told this truth. I had a meeting with Wayne. You know, I had a relationship with Baby, so, you know, I used to go to New Orleans. I would hang out with him. He had me in the purple little, whatever that car was. Remember them purple little cars?
The Prowler.
Prowler going down the street, mm-hmm. you know, no top. People wanted, trying to jump in the car. I felt it was only right to call him. Mm-hmm. You know, I called him out of respect, like, yo, I was talking to Wayne, just letting you know, boom, boom, boom. After that, I think we received a letter at our office for, like, torturous interference.
Whoa.
And I was like, whoa.
Was it sports? They do that?
It was like, whoa. And it just all went from there. But, you know, I think I would rather lose that situation and do the right thing than the opposite. You know, because I think I could have just, I could have signed him and then told him after, but you know, I did the right thing, and I'm cool with that decision.
How close were you to really spanking Wayne when he threw that shot at the wife?
Nah, it was all right. It's part of the sport and the competition. I didn't take it serious. I didn't view it as a threat. I thought it was just a flip of a line that I said, because I said I ain't got my wifey money. I wasn't really speaking to him, but he's holding the flag, so he did the right thing for his camp. And but I didn't take it as a real threat. I took it as a flip of a line.
Another hood question. Young Chris, your former artist, how much did he influence you? Because a lot of people say you took his style or he took yours.
You know, with all due respect to Chris, he was an amazing artist. You know, he did amazing things, but, you know, the music is there. You know, I made records before Chris and after him. Mm-hmm. You know, so... I don't even I don't even know how to answer that. It's like the weirdest thing in the world to me. Like,
you've heard this stuff before, though. I'm not,
yeah, of course. Okay, no. I've heard it.
Sean is just over here.
I don't want to just I've
never heard that before.
It's just weird to me. It's like,
I'll get pulled in the office by the PD. Why did you ask Jay that? I'm like, it's been on the internet for years. Now, is there any rumor that you've ever heard that made you be like, all right, this is weird?
All of them.
All the time. Well, yeah. Which one? Who do you want to start with?
Like the, when they said Beyonce didn't really have the baby.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's probably the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And the fact that people were really like running with that and running up with it and had follow up stories. Because at first I thought it was a, you know, one of those get press things. Like, you know, like let's run with this for press. Mm-hmm. Then I was slowly like, oh, y'all believe this.
Right.
It started going so far. Like, oh, y'all really believe this, and it's that's messed up, because mm-hmm. like the time where you're supposed to be most joyous, you got mm-hmm. life in you, and you know, and in the whole thing, it's supposed to be a joyous time for you to have to like deal with that, whether you care about it or not, is annoying, and you shouldn't have to really deal with that as a human being. But you know, that's the position that we're in. You mm-hmm. know, it don't matter how many times you say that Beyonce is really pregnant.
Right.
Mm. People gonna believe what they want to believe anyway. So, I mean, why waste my time?
And sometimes you respond to something that brings way more attention to it, too.
That too. And it's just, it goes into another space. You know, I got a great life. You know, whatever comes with it, even ridiculous rumors about anything.
It's mm-hmm. nothing.
It's
compared
nothing.
To-
it's nothing compared right. to what you know where I've been.
Do you ever have that conversation with Ye? Like, Ye, it's just the paparazzi. That's not a real problem.
Yeah, all the time.
Okay, that's the answer.
Yeah. When you seen him hit his head on that stop sign, did you laugh? I'm just curious. Did you laugh when the first time you seen it?
I chuckled.
All right.
When you saw Charlamagne getting chased outside the building, did you laugh?
That was pretty funny.
I laughed really hard.
You got to see the other video. It's another video.
The one thing I liked about it, I mean, because you can't help that. If somebody just run up on you and knock you inside your head, you know what I mean?
I'm shocked. I'm startled.
Yeah, I know. It is what it is. That can happen to anybody. The way you, but
not
you saw it coming.
He seen it?
That was a good, that was the thing I saw. I was like, okay, that was, you know, little nuances of your personality. You saw it coming, you knew that thing was coming.
He was jet.
You know what gave it away, though?
What?
The camera.
Yeah.
It's the world star era. Like, right. Nothing's good is going to come of this situation.
Right.
Like, I'm getting out of here. I'm not letting these guys plan go through. They might have peed on me or something. I don't know what I'm doing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jay-Z.
Acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith.
When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, huh? I'm going to fatten all that shit around your eye.
They want this man to throw them blows, man. They wait for Charlamagne to tap these gloves. Let's go.
They had to make a judgment of who was going to be on the Donkey of the Day. They chose you.
Yes. The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Yes, Donkey of the Day
goes to New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees. Yeah, the mayonnaise is very, very heavy on this sandwich, okay? I've been having a lot of conversations with my white friends this week. They all want to know what to say, how to say it in regards to not only the death of George Floyd, but about their place on this planet in general. You know, the whole white privilege, white supremacist conversation. See, sadly, there's not a white person in America who can say that at some point, someone in their family tree, someone in their bloodline, their ancestors were part of the problem. Okay, the problem being white supremacy. It is what it is, people. Nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be embarrassed about. No matter how history books attempt to sanitize it, no matter how sweet they try to make it sound, all America was not built on Christian values, okay, like they try to sell it. All right, please stop. Okay, America was built on the back of slavery and racism. That's it, point blank, period, poo. All right, slavery was America's first big business. This country was founded by old white men who were not attempting to make this country all-inclusive for everyone, especially black people. Okay, we were property, like actual literal property. That's why we got to constantly tell people Black Lives Matter, because in the Constitution, it says black people were three-fifths of a person. The three-fifths rule. That's why we were treated as property. Okay, so that's why we got to constantly remind you, no, I am actually a life, not a piece of property. And to this day, some still look at us as property. Okay, so yes, my white allies, that's the harsh truth. If you are ready and willing to start from that place, then we can figure out how to dismantle this mechanism called white supremacy. Now, in regards to speaking out, you shouldn't have to ask me how to speak out for another human in regards to their pain. Okay, if you are a spiritually conscious person in any way, if you are just a human being with empathy, when you saw that video of George Floyd, you should have felt the way, and whatever you felt, express it. Okay, you don't need a black person's permission for that. Okay, this is a matter of race, but it's also just a matter of being human. So if you want to know what to do, it's simple. Just stand up for other humans. Sadly, some people just don't get it. I'm not even mad at them for not getting it, because we all live in our individual bubbles. And when you are a white male, you definitely live in a bubble, because this system, for the most part, works perfectly for you. Okay, this white supremacist system, whether you are a prejudiced, bigoted, racist or not, works great for most white males, because it was designed by white males. So it's always going to be built-in advantages, which is why when someone like Drew Brees doesn't get it, doesn't surprise me at all. See, Drew Brees was giving an interview with Yahoo Finance. During the interview, he was asked his thoughts on the subject of players potentially kneeling during the national anthem for the 2020 season. Let's hear it.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America. Let me just tell you what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s, and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. We can all do better, and that we are all part of the solution.
Flag on the play. A violation has occurred, illegal use of white privilege. Drew Brees is marginalizing what black people are experiencing in this country because he's seeing the world through the lens of the oppressor, not the oppressed. I am happy that when Drew Brees sees the flag of the United States of America and his grandfathers who fought for this country in World War II, I'm glad he sheds a couple tears. That's beautiful. But Drew Brees, black people fought in World War II. But imagine fighting for a country that at that point didn't even give you the same civil liberties that it gave your grandparents, Drew Brees. Do you know when the U.S. entered World War II, Jim Crow segregation had entered every single aspect of American society? Do you know that there were several segregated units in the military during World War II? So even though we all supposed to have a common enemy in a war, this country still had us divided, okay? Still looked at us as an enemy. This is why so many black folks have a problem with patriotism. How can we salute a country that historically enslaved us, marginalized us, and continues to brutalize us? See, Drew Brees is a white privileged male. That's how he sees America, okay? It's all roses. He's living his life like it's golden, okay? This white supremacist system works well for him because it's supposed to. I am not arguing with any white person about why people choose to take a knee in regards to police brutality. There's nothing to debate, okay? If you don't get it by now, you don't want to get it. And if you're committed to misunderstanding the situation, whatever. Now, I did have a convo with my good brother, Michael Eric Dyson, this weekend. Drop on the clues bombs from Michael Eric Dyson. And he was explaining to me why you do have to teach white people, because whether you know it or not, you are unintentionally teaching them. So you might as well be intentional about teaching them. So I keep that in mind at times like this. And I defer to one of our greatest teachers, Killer Mike. He was on with Jalen and Jacoby, and he had some lessons for Drew Brees. Let's hear it.
I would like to know what he considers disrespect, because when I travel and we perform in Germany, I never see a Nazi flag, because Nazis are a part of history that Germany understands was a cancer and corrupt, and they've ridded themselves of. Drew Brees plays in the Deep South. As we travel through the South, we see the Confederate flag everywhere that bounds. So if you're gonna tell me about flag and disrespecting the American flag, the fact that you live in a region that they still fly the rebel flag or the Confederate flag, and you don't adamantly speak against that on a regular basis, just tells me that you're protecting the way of life or what you think is right. The American flag stands for the First Amendment and the ability to say what you feel about situations. Now, you bear the brunt of that. You may get blackballed out of the NFL, but you have the right to. So if you support and you don't want to see the American flag disrespected, don't look at it on Budweiser shorts at picnics. Don't look at it on bikini shots in Playboy. Don't look at it on your favorite album covers because you think that rock band is rocking for you. Be all the way with it. You're an intelligent football player, but that was an incredibly stupid thing to say. But I'm not going to be so burdened with the religion that has become Americanism, nationalism, that I forget that the flag represents the United States Constitution. And the United States Constitution was written by a bunch of people who chose to protest violently in order to have a flag. So what you interpret as disrespect probably is the most patriotic thing happening today.
Just something to think about. Something to think about, Drew Brees. If I had a lesson for Drew Brees, because I'm nowhere near as eloquent as Killer Mike, but if I had a lesson for Drew Brees, it would be a simple homework assignment, and it's this. If you don't understand why players kneel, if you don't understand why players take a knee, then go watch the video of that white devil cop kneeling, taking a knee on George Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. If you don't get it after that, well, we might just need you to shut the F up forever on all issues regarding race in this country and sit the rest of this season called life out. Please let Chelsea Handler give Drew Brees the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw. That is way too much Dan Mayonnaise.
I wonder if he's going to address these statements now.
He has to.
I'm sure that he'll have an enlightening moment and say that, you know, he was taught so much in the past 24 hours.
Yeah, he has.
I'm sure he will. Absolutely. Plus, he kneeled before.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know if he was just doing that to be a good teammate or he actually knew what was going on. Who knows?
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
The Breakfast Club.
Acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Back. You're checking out the world's most dangerous morning show.
Special guest in the building.
Very highly requested.
Yeah.
Interview.
For a long time now.
What's happening?
Mr. Damon Dash.
What's going on?
You brought some people with you, Dame. Introduce your peoples.
First Gov, he wants to be noticed.
I heard the dog under there.
Yeah, and I got my OG Daniel to my left, and to my right, I got Murder Mook.
Now, what's the Murder Mook affiliation? I know he's in the movie, but is what y'all doing other things too?
The overall affiliation is the Harlem thing.
You talk about Harlem a lot from a long time. How did you meet up with Jay-Z, who was from Brooklyn? Because like you guys, you Harlem guys are tight.
You really still curious about the Jay-Z?
Absolutely.
You don't know the story?
Curious. No, we want you to tell the story.
Let me ask you a question.
No, this is not. You're not asking questions, Dave. We're asking you. People want to know that.
Can I ask you a question? Have you never asked this question for me before about Jay-Z?
I have, but I was on a smaller scale. It wasn't as big as the Breakfast
Club. So wait, let me ask you a question. Do you think everybody knows that question?
No, I don't think everybody knows that answer.
Do you know the answer?
Yeah.
What's the answer?
No, you tell us the answer. Tell us the answer how you met. No, it's different because we're on a different scale.
Is this a Harlem Queens thing? Like Harlem Queens don't get along?
Let me ask you a question. Okay, let's be men, right?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody asks you the same questions 25 times, maybe 2,500 times, do you still want to talk about the same thing? Yes or no?
No.
So that's just me being human.
No, I understand.
So I don't care what platform we're on. I'm sick of talking about it. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah, but we
gonna
ask
that
you
question.
If you don't want to answer, you
I just told you.
To
next
answer.
Question.
That's, okay. That's cool.
No more Jay-Z questions. I answered them all.
Well, I want to talk about your. You say your OGs. You talk about your counsel. Like, I always wondered who was your counsel. Like when you would scream on other executives back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, were those the guys you would go to and say, "Yo, was I wrong for that?
For screaming on other executives?"
Yeah.
They weren't in my life at the time, but I had my crew and I had the people. See, the reason why I would scream is because it would be for me not putting my hands on them. See, the way I was taught, when you putting up money and somebody doesn't do what you say or they owe you money, if you don't put your hands on them, then you can't be outside anymore. So you have to make examples out of people. So the yelling and the snapping and laughing at people was I was taught to hurt people. But instead, I was also taught a smarter way to get at people. And that's one of the things that Daniel taught me. So, like, it would be the people that I'd be around, and they would be straight, real tough.
Gotcha.
But I could just snap on them. We would snap all day. Instead of me having to kill these niggas with guns, I killed them with jokes. You know, but when it came down to it, my knuckle game's proper. You know I'm going to go out all out for what I believe in. But I'd rather laugh at you than shoot you. I'd rather talk to you disrespectfully than have to punch you in your mouth for disrespecting me. That's what I was taught.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was able to maneuver. So instead of going to get my gun, I was able to use my logic. Everything is simple math. You ask me a question 25 times just because you want everyone else to know. I don't care. I'm sick of answering that question. So I don't want to talk about another man all day. I want to talk about other things, period. It's no, not men but, don't want to talk about other men. It bugs me out. Why are men so curious about other men? That makes no sense. I'm never worried about other men that much.
Let me ask
you as a woman. Mm-hmm. Why are men so worried about other men and how much money they got and all this other man stuff? Why?
Well, I think part of it is social media. You know what happens.
What's that got to do with it?
No, we put up a picture like,
so you make
money
from
Damon Dasher's hair, and a bunch of people would be like, ask him this. And it
so
is
it's
true.
It's a money thing.
It is true that people ask the same questions because some people might not have heard the answer. Be one person.
Everybody heard this answer.
Well, I will say this. Everybody knows my history with Jay.
Let me just say something. Y'all saw my other interview.
Mm-hmm.
I already told you the reasons why I don't want to talk about that man. You got one of them hats on right now. I told you why. Get off of that man. Pause. You asked that man. Y'all never asked that man no questions about
him. Oh, no, we did. We definitely did.
What did he answer?
Nothing going to change the way I feel about Damon. You know, no matter, no time or space, no separation or anything. I got love for Damon Dash the same way as I did before. I don't know if we can be around each other in that way because times have changed. But nothing can erase that era and those times and those memories and those fights that we had to get Rockefeller where it was. There will always be love there.
You seem like y'all.
No, I just
report.
Don't want to talk about those days. That's 15 years ago.
Nah,
that's still how y'all make money?
No, I agree.
The reason why, listen, if y'all still making money off of old substance, then how are you going to grow?
No, I agree with that. But
we still talking about Jay. I haven't even seen Jay but two times in 15 years.
But this is my thing, though, that you did add something new to the conversation when you said you brought up the stuff about Desiree.
I didn't bring up nothing. I ain't say a name. I said, look, you still bringing it up. You got the hat on. I told you why I don't want to talk about it. So I don't want to talk about it no more. You understand? See, y'all don't understand what's out there. People go to jail. People get killed for this kind of stuff. I don't play these ghetto games.
But you want to
I don't do
though.
This bubble gum. I told you. Once a nigga has certain friends, we don't even talk about them no more where I'm from. So you think I'm going to get on the camera and keep talking about this thing? I don't know what's going on over there. You got the hat on. You asked them. You calling out names.
Question,
now, you know what that represent? I ain't going to do that. But go ahead.
You did talk about... I would say you were the bad guy at one time. But that was your job. Now, the reason I'm asking...
Nah, I wasn't the bad guy. No, I was the good guy. I was the bad guy to the bad people.
Right.
Mm. I'm the good guy to the good guys. Trust me. I'm always going to be a bad guy to somebody.
Listen,
let me ask you a question. If I beat the shit out of you, mm-hmm. and you a f***ed up dude, you did something bad, but in your mind, I f***ed you up, am I a bad guy?
If I did something bad, no, not at all.
To that person that got his ass whipped, I am a bad guy.
To the person that got his ass whipped, but
that's what I'm saying. So hold on. So I'm walking. No, but look, I'm walking around whipping ass.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody gonna say I'm a bad guy.
Right. Absolutely.
Pause.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't say whose ass.
You ain't beating a dude.
Anyway, so I'm saying I'm gonna be a bad guy. It's all good guy. Like Batman, they said he was a bad guy, but he's a superhero. If you at war, you the bad guy to the people you fighting. Whoever looks at me as a bad guy, they're on the wrong end. They're on the wrong team. You see what I do when I got the rock. Pause. I give it the platform to my friends, and I always have. While I haven't been around, a lot of people got fat, but all my friends are starving, or the people that I left out there. Everyone's starving. A couple of people are fat. We're taking it back so everybody could eat.
Are there times in business you feel like you haven't been honorable and fair?
Never.
That you can. I mean, people never. Do make mistakes because we're
never.
Human.
I've never not been honorable in business. Every time I hear me not being honorable in business is from a radio show when men talk about men. It's never been from that man telling me in my face he has an issue with me.
It's not a claim of an artist.
It's not a claim. It's never been no social media. How can a man say social media with a straight face?
It's what
men don't listen to social media.
That's what they.
No, men don't listen to social media. A real man doesn't listen to a rumor.
And Twitter. That's why.
Let me ask you a question.
What about
real calm? Real calm.
That's why we asking.
Real calm. Does a real man listen to what another man says about another man? Yes or no?
I mean, you listen. It's up to you to take it in.
Right then. So you have no questions to ask me. I don't give a f***.
But this is the radio business.
I don't give a f*** about the radio business.
You're an artist.
I don't give a f*** about nothing.
Y'all want to box or something?
He doesn't want to do that. That's not what he wants to do. But what I'm saying is this.
I just think usually it's over money that people have.
No, don't be over no money. How much money? Which money do you?
Like, it's all relative. To me? Yeah. I mean, it's all relative, but
is $100,000 money?
It's money.
Not to me.
It is money, though.
It's not to me. It's relative. I can't do shit with $100,000. My bills are way more than $100,000.
I forget all that money talk.
No, no, I'm not asking you a question. No, I'm trying to prove a point here so you can have a clarity of what y'all should be worried about. What's worth a real man talking about his business on the radio between another man? What's worth that?
None. I don't need the money.
Exactly.
It's not relevant.
Exactly. So when a man comes on the radio and talks about money and they don't talk about me, I know that's not the issue. Because if it was really about money, he would have called me. He wouldn't have called you. He know I'm not listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
How am I listening to you ask me questions about another man's money? A real man don't answer those questions. A real man don't ask them.
Well, let's talk about you. Do you feel like you get your props as a mogul,
man? I don't care. I take my props.
Word.
You don't fuck about props. I care. Yeah, I do get my props. I'm not a mogul. I'm a tycoon. I sell oil. Don't disrespect me and say I do everything everybody else does. And I put up my own money. All these so-called moguls y'all talking about, you name one of them that put their own dough up. A boss, you're only the boss if you put up your own money. If you don't put up your own money, I don't care how much somebody gives you, you're nothing but a supervisor. It's not yours. There's no money in this world for someone to pay me so they could call me, so I could call them a boss. That's like calling somebody daddy. How can a man call another man, yo, that's my boss? We don't do that.
I mean, everybody at some point has to have a boss, right?
No, not in Harlem. Put it like this.
Because you're somebody's boss.
No, I'm not somebody's boss. When I was in the street, someone wasn't your boss, they gave you an opportunity.
Okay.
They gave you some work. You go make it, and then you bring it back. You can go buy your own work. You do whatever you want.
So why this can't be all work? This corporate America, we could be using this.
You don't own it.
I'm telling you why.
Question. Let me ask you a question. Can you give it to your son?
Can I give what to my son?
Whatever you
shares of this company, I absolutely positively can.
How?
Why? Because I own shares of this company.
You bought her?
Yes.
What I'm saying is, can your son eat? Is this yours to give the whole company to you?
This company is not my son's. No.
Exactly.
It's not mine. But I
wait, stop. Listen. That's not my question. If your son needs a job here, can you give it to him? No.
No.
If your son needs to get some money out the bank from here, some cash flow, can he get it?
No.
All right. You don't own this.
But I can take the money from here to invest in myself.
No, it's not yours. I'm not going to fight for something I don't own. Men don't do that. I'm not going to build somebody else's company and then take shares so my son can... All that.
But I'm not.
No, listen.
Though.
What I'm saying.
But what about taking the money?
You come to work
you took the money from Def Jam.
Stop. Don't say. You're speaking my business and you don't know what you're talking about. I ain't take no money from Def Jam. What you talking about?
What I mean, take. I mean, they cut you a check.
No, they didn't cut me a check. We had a formula based on performance, and they calculated, and we got paid.
That's us.
That's not us.
That's what we do.
No. We had Rockefeller. We put up our own money for Rockefeller. Then we sold half of it. We became partners. So that means no one gave us anything. We were 50-50 partners. We built something and sold it. That doesn't mean you work for somebody. See, they let you believe that. So then what happened was, based on a formula, you know what a formula is? It was profit times a certain number. So if you make this much profit times 7, that's how much your number is.
Okay.
Based on that formula, they bought the rest. That's it. That's not nobody giving me money. I never worked for them. I put up way more money than Def Jam put up. Me, Biggs, and Jay put way more money up into Def Jam. I mean, rather into Rockefeller than Def Jam. All they did was collect our money. When we were with Def Jam, they were bought by Universal. How you gonna call Def? How you gonna think someone that's bought by someone could be someone's boss? You have to understand what you're doing in business because you got to do what's best for your kids. What's best for your kids is to put your money into something, distress, go through all of it. So when your child becomes a man, he doesn't have to work for nobody.
Right, well, that's the
whole
thing.
You can just pass it to him.
Now, you talk about...
So if you're going to work 20 years in a business or 15 years in a business every day over and over again, and your son can't work here whenever he feel like it, you clowning to me.
I don't want him to work here.
But that's me. I'm not saying... If you owned it... Wait a second.
I'm here because I enjoy it. Time out. I don't need a check.
That's stupid. You should be...
Just like Murder Move, you rap because he enjoy it, not because he want a check.
You're wrong.
I'm here because I enjoy it.
I like the check.
Wait, time out.
Time out.
You're lying.
I'm not saying... I don't need a check.
Before you lose your control, just stay focused.
Like you say, do your homework.
So listen to me.
I work here because I enjoy it.
Why don't you listen?
I work here for free.
Who could work... Would you ever enjoy being a slave?
It's not a slave. This is what I enjoy.
I don't think this is slavery, DJ.
Do you have to come to work today? Do you have a choice? Do you have to ask somebody when you have to? Yes, you do.
I don't.
Or you're fired. Can somebody tell you fired?
I honestly don't.
Can somebody tell you fired? Yes or no?
And be good.
Can another man say you're fired?
Absolutely.
No one can tell me that. And that's priceless to me.
But I'm here because I
don't care. You enjoy having a man be able to
fire.
But you enjoy. Okay, let me ask you a question. So you're being selfish. Do you think your son enjoys you calling somebody else a boss?
Don't you think your son would rather wake up with you and you could pick him up from school instead of having to do a 9 to 5? Don't you think? Yeah, all right, but don't you have to wake up at 4 a.m? Don't you think your son would love if his name was up there, Dash, or whatever your last name is, instead of somebody else's? It's my Casey, pride is in my children. But Dave, like, look what I'm doing right now. Look at my son. I taught my son never to have a boss. He's 23. He owns a restaurant. He has cookies. He has equity. He busts his ass so he can pass it on to his son. If that's not what you hustling for, you're selfish. You keep saying I'm worried about my kids. You worried about you.
My kids are good.
How are they good? Your kids aren't going to be kids.
I feel like I'm in a Def Jam boardroom and backstage.
Their kids, they're not supposed to work. I'm saying when they men, you're supposed to pass them something. You're working for another man.
They're worried about
their kids. See, to me, this is retarded. See,
we have some questions. I feel like I'm in Def Jam boardroom. This is not backstage. Everybody cool out for a second. Why am I playing the Peacemaker? What kind of show is this where I start playing the Peacemaker? Okay? We'll be back with more Dame Dash right here on The Breakfast Club. Right. I knew I shouldn't have worn this Jay-Z t-shirt.
The Breakfast Club.
You're checking out the world's most dangerous morning show.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, we are The Breakfast Club.
It's good to see you and Kanye working together again, too, man. Yeah.
That's a
can
good
you,
thing.
Can you trust him, though? Because he's openly admitted he was disloyal.
He felt you weren't loyal to him.
And I wasn't. And this was an extremely visionary move on my part. To roll with Jay-Z.
it was smart.
Did you tell Dame that? I mean, if he's the one that believed in you, then why does Hov get the credit in the Big Brother records?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Dame a lot on raps, but it was the moment when, you know, Rockefeller split. It made more sense for me, career-wise, to roll with Jay, even though Dame had supported me.
My thing about trust is you can't trust anybody. So you don't put enough into anybody where their disloyalty can hurt you, so there's nothing he can do to hurt me. All he can do is be what he's been. He has a platform, and a lot of people listen to what he say. As he's had that platform, he's brought me into the equation by saying my name in an honorable way. Mm-hmm. That's worth millions.
I know you said you don't care, but do you think some people don't give you the credit you deserve for your business? Because it looks honestly, like, by perception, the people you were with went up, the Jays and Kanyes, and they said you was down.
I can say this. In front of me, everyone gives me my props.
All right.
So all that I see is the respect in front of me. I don't hear about the disrespect that's not in front of me. See, like I said, people that talk about other people that aren't there are cowards, and they're insecure about the lack of things they've done. So I just can't worry about that. Every day, people give me a handshake and give me my kudos, so I don't walk around getting denied.
Mm-hmm.
You may read it in the paper, but you have to think about the platforms that are saying the bad things. Those are the corporate platforms. They're trying to take all the attention off one thing, which is me showing everyone how to get money direct to consumer, how to not to have a middleman. Like, you guys don't need a boss because you've all been here so long. You guys, off air, should go to another studio, do a show, and just syndicate it. Just sell it and syndicate it. You have enough power to do that.
We own our Breakfast Club show, and we syndicate.
So you own the brand.
We don't own the brand. The Breakfast Club brand is owned by a movie company 20, 30 years ago.
So what do you own?
We own our show.
So it's called Our Show? What's the name of what you own? You're working
the
with a name
company
you don't own?
Owns
okay,
name.
Do me a favor. Start something that you own, and then start building that, a name, so that you can benefit from every ancillary thing. It doesn't make sense to not own it and promote a name you don't own.
People listening,
would you mind if I was your boss?
No.
So, can I hire you right now?
If you got the right money, yeah.
How much would it take for me to be your boss?
To do what?
What do you get paid to do?
I'm a radio personality.
What does your boss pay you to do?
Be a radio personality. Talk on air for four hours a day.
4 hours a day. How much does he pay for that? $4 million, you do it and come work for me.
Yeah, if it's guaranteed for a certain amount of time and I get my benefits.
Time?
And
how much time?
We're not going to talk about it on air, Dame.
If I'm your boss, you will.
But you're not my boss.
Not yet.
Can we talk about something else? I got hood questions, man. I want to know, was Big Al really going to sign the Rockefeller, man?
Absolutely.
I want to know stuff like that.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, Big Al was going to sign.
Great question. Okay.
Yeah, he was. We were talking about, he was always, you know, like I said, Big Al was a Harlem dude, and he was the first one in Harlem that was really doing it at that level before all of us. Jay-Z and Big L battled on 139th Street.
Who won?
They went rap for rap, and Jay didn't get booed. People were saying it was a close tie. So to me, if you go on somebody else's block and it's a close tie, if you did that on his block.
On your own block.
And so that's how I gauged it. But in hindsight, you know, I couldn't be objective because, like, at the time, everything that Jay was talking about was about what we were doing. You know, so it was so much passion, and what he was saying, it was so honest. But I knew Big L as well. You know, so it's, you know, you got to remember, in the moment, you don't know how legendary things are going to be.
You going to put the money up for Mook and Drake to battle or what, Dave?
If Drake will step up, we'll organize it. I'm sure amongst my Harlem friends, we could get that up. Drake made a fundamental mistake in battling. He challenged Mook. Mm. See, in the street, you can't challenge somebody and take back the challenge.
Right.
So now that, and this is from what I've heard, so it ain't no disrespect to Drake, but I think he said something on emotion, on a business level. His people told him, yo, you got too much to lose. So what I told Mook was, Drake's not going to battle you until you're richer than him. And that'll be next week.
Okay.
Did I not?
Yeah.
Until Drake has something to lose, he's not going to. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't advise. It's like, dog, it's like going to a dice game where you got $1 million in your pocket and it's only $100 between everybody. You know, that's how they're looking at it. Like, you ain't got nothing to
win.
He
wants to do it, though.
He wants to do it, but I think he's being advised not to. But whenever he's ready.
They came to me like, yo, listen, if we could get Drake to do one round right now, would you? I go speak to him and I'm like, you got rhymes, don't you?
He had balls waiting for you.
Yeah, he did. That was a setup. He did. I'm like,
that was a setup.
I'm like, but it's cool though. I'm like, give me an hour. I'm gonna go come up with some, trust me, give me an hour. I'm like, yo, tell him it's on. It looked to all possibilities was about to happen, like right then and there, spur of the moment. And then 5 minutes later, his management was like, no, he can't do it.
Yeah, of course.
So a Harlem dude couldn't do that. You can't ask somebody for a fair one and back out. This reminds me now, I could tell you about a parallel example.
Mm-hmm.
When Nas had the Ether out,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what happened, but I was at Arizona shooting a Rockware campaign, and when I landed, I heard Super Ugly
mm-hmm.
when I landed, and I was sick. Cause
You didn't advise that.
That I did not say that was all right. So, me and Irv Gotti. So I called Irv, I'm like, Irv, why did you, we talking about, all this kind of stuff that we don't do. I wish I could have rewinded it to like, why y'all didn't call me so I could have told you not to do that. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So in the moment, an artist who's inspired is going to, he's going to try to fight. But he must have had somebody there that Jay didn't have that day
mm-hmm.
because that was the only elbow we really took. That mm-hmm. was the beginning of the end, really, because we were unstoppable before that, but he messed up. But someone was there to tell Drake, like, you bugging. This could ruin you today. You drinking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Someone older or smarter than him probably gave him the right advice. Because I wouldn't advise it.
Would you have advised Jay to reply to Ether at all? Or just leave it at TakeOver and Ether?
See, at the time, I felt like we were winning. Because we had done the Michael Jackson thing and we had called him out. So, he was talking hearsay. Like, our thing, when I battle, when my crew, who I'm with, I like to tell the truth. I don't like to say who says the funniest punchlines. The bottom line is we professionals, so let's just say true things. So I thought, the stuff that Nas said was dope.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, he emotionally got at Jay because he was inviting him to his...
It was a little chatty patty.
So I was like, yo, you just got caught up in gossip. You don't have to answer gossip. If he says something real, Dame Dummy, I thought that was dope because he said my name.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone knows I'm not dumb. That's mm-hmm. obvious. So I'm not going to reply to that. You know what I mean? I'm going to be happy he said it. So I thought, he should let it rock out. That's why he did it when I wasn't around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I thought we had played it fair. And I don't care if other people think someone wins. All I care is if I think I won. Mm-hmm. And, I did it right and played the game. So I didn't think it was necessary. You know what I mean? But if he was going to do it, it wouldn't have been I wouldn't have chatty-patted it. So that's why we lost. You see, when you gossip, you end up doing things that aren't honorable and you end up apologizing on the radio the next day.
But so WWW, Low Side of the Movie, advice. Don't forget.
LowSideIsTheMovie.com.
Spell it for them.
L-O...
L-O-I-S-A.
I said it. I did it. LOISAIDAS. Yeah.
Yeah.
TheMovie.com. And then I'm going to hire Envy.
Dame wants to know.
I'm going to hire you.
Yo, hold on.
There's no way I'm not going
to. Dame wanted to know Envy that how much respect you have for him. Would you let him get the Jordans? Would you let him get the Jordans or you want to keep them?
Your man's out there, he got the Jordans.
Right.
And he was like, I got only 10s and Envy got them. So if Envy don't want them, you can have them. I was like, oh, that's my man. I know Envy would pay me the proper respect and let me buy them.
I don't know. Maybe before the interview.
Yeah.
See, I knew he would even buy him. I'm not Iceland.
You're his boss, so I'm sure Not yet.
I wouldn't want to be your boss. I'd rather be your partner. And I would rather, us do a book, do a movie, do a doc. I would throw down, if you want, on a radio show to syndicate that has a new name. What's the name of what you own?
No, it's the Breakfast Club.
You don't own the Breakfast Club.
There's no name.
All right, so you own the no name. And so can we have a name and we could do something together? And I'm down. I'll do a movie with y'all. I'll do something with you. You know, and I was just thinking, Revolt, if Puff owns Revolt. He's from Harlem. That's my channel.
Okay, maybe I'm being chatty, but I just saw the
You're not being chatty because you asked me a question.
Yeah, you said that Diddy wouldn't clear
First of all, I don't call him Diddy.
He wouldn't clear Big to be in the Brooklyn's Finest video.
Yeah, Puff would not clear. Yeah, he wouldn't clear it.
So how could you do business with him if he? Because that don't.
I didn't say do business. I said I want to use this network. That's what
okay.
You gotta listen, Chatty Patty.
This is the longest interview we've ever done on.
But I'm Chatty Patty.
Asking me questions.
But hopefully it was informative, though.
You don't even feel the time.
No, I was trying to, but you know, you was asking about some.
You like such and such said such and such, so such and such said such and such.
That's what I'm talking about with him. See, now he got y'all talking about doing your own thing. That's what it's about, though. You feel me? Even through controversial conversations.
But it's not. It's just a difference of perspective. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Men can have conversations. You ain't got to fight over that. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't disrespect. That's why once it was like, oh, you stupid. I was like, but I might have said it. So I was like, my bad. And if I did, I, you know, that's not what I do. But
and you offered cookies after that.
His cookies. I know I'm going to come young. I'm like, his cookies. Everybody just give me. You know what I'm saying? And the respect that I'm always have for y'all is that y'all been in the game so long. So there's always a brothership we going to have just because I knew you 20 years ago. Regardless of whether we was on the same team, we on the same team because we in hip-hop. And my thing is love. It's not about knocking motherfuckers down. It's about helping them get up. So I'm going to tell you your faults, which usually makes people mad, but then I'm going to say, but I'm not only going to tell you, but I'm going to help you get without, like, you can have this life, and it's cool, but let's do something different. Are you allowed to do other things?
Absolutely.
All right, so.
But we are, though. It's not like we're limiting one hustle.
What I'm saying is this. I'm not going to just talk, and I'm saying, look, I'll do something with y'all. What y'all want to do? Y'all want to work with me, or y'all scared? Let's do a deal right now.
Let's do it. I'm never scared.
What you want to do?
Show? I don't know, Dame. I feel like anything we do won't be good enough for you.
Shatty Patty. I'm not asking. What y'all want to do? Let's do it. You want
to
do something?
We'd like to do an animated series.
Bet. Let's do it.
When the hell did you come up with that idea?
We're
going to have a name.
I can't do that because that's a verbal contract. You're not holding me to that? I don't know. Let's talk about it.
It's the Breakfast Club.
He bumped his head somewhere.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. You got a positive note for the people?
My positive note comes from Mr. Don Miguel Ruiz, who I love. He's an author I love, author of the Four Agreements, Fifth Agreements, Mastery of Self, bunch of great titles. But he has a quote where he says, death is not the biggest fear we have. Our biggest fear is taking the risk to be alive, the risk to be alive and express what we really are. Go live today, people.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Feel it coming in the air. Yeah. Hear the screams from everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to the thrill.
I'm ready.
It's a dangerous...
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money in markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder. I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.